He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Good to see all of you here with us today. Thank you for coming on behalf of Marie's family. I think if she was here, she would be so surprised to see all of you. I've known Marie about 20 years now, I guess, and just a very sweet lady, a fine Christian woman. That's not what gets her into paradise. It's her relationship with Jesus Christ. So we are rejoicing especially in that today. The Bible talks over and over again about the importance of continuing in Christ all the way to the very end. And it's not something we can even do, but God says that he is the one who begins our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. God is the one who has to continue it, and God is the one who will bring it to completion. So her life is a great testimony of that. At this time, I would invite you to take your service folder to please arise and to face our entrance. Thinking about the words of baptism, thinking about God's powerful work that he did upon Marie 93 years ago, we begin here in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In holy baptism, Marie was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all of her sin. St. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, as we think about the funeral pall, it's a beautiful funeral pall, and what we should think about would be the perfect life of Jesus Christ that he lived for each and every one of us, including Marie. So also when we think about Marie, we have to think about King David and the confession he made in Psalm 51. He said, "I was sinful from birth, sinful even from the moment my mother conceived me." So right from conception, all of us inherit sin from our parents. That was true of Marie as well. So even in the womb, she had sin inherited from her parents. Even as an infant, so baptism was important, and when she was baptized into Christ, she was wrapped up in the perfect life of Jesus. So when God looks upon her, he doesn't see her sin at all, but rather he sees the perfect life of Christ. So Jesus, he is the way to heaven for everyone, and we can be sure today that Marie is in paradise, all because of her relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming to our processional, you can see we're going to take a look at some verses from Psalm 121 and then also from Psalm 90, and notice we will speak those responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot slip. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, the Lord watches over you. The sun will not harm you by day. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. Going on to Psalm 90, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Who considers the power of your anger? So teach us to number our days. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As I think about Marie, God gave her many more than 70 or 80 years up into her 90s. So many blessings, and just thinking about Marie for a moment, she was so blessed to have her children with her so often and for extended periods of time. So oftentimes people don't have that near the end of life, but Marie had those great blessings. Let us pray. O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Marie and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. We come now to what we call a brief summary of Marie's earthly life. It is extremely brief because God blessed her with a long and wonderful life here on earth, but these are some of the facts about her life. Marie Frederica Mukau, the daughter of John and Marie, was born on May 3, 1926 in Cleveland, Ohio. Baptized into Christ at home on June 6, 1926 by Pastor Sauer, and confirmed in her Christian faith on March 17, 1940, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Cleveland, Ohio, by Reverend A.W. Hinz, and then her confirmation verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So a wonderful verse that her pastor picked for her a long time ago. So to fear the Lord, that is only the beginning of wisdom. So to fear him, to respect him, to trust him, those words really characterize her life in many ways. Harry Weiselow and Marie were married on December 13, 1946 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Cleveland, again by Reverend A.W. Hinz. Marie is the beloved wife of the late Harry, loving mother of Harold, John, Carolyn, and Paul, cherished grandmother of Heather, Jennifer, Justin, Christopher, John, Rachel, Jacob, Natalie, and Grace, and great-grandmother of Marissa and Aria, and sister of the late Margaret and Elsie. Isn't it interesting how people come together and there are only two? And then God brings so many more people from just the two. What did God say in the Bible? He said, go, be fruitful, multiply. And we can see that in the life of Harry and Marie. Marie lived in Cleveland for 28 years before moving to Broadview Heights, where she resided for 65 years. Marie worked as a clerk at Crane Company for 3 years, at Wallings Road School and Food Service for 11 years, and also at the Brecksville Broadview Heights School District. I know Marie has always belonged to a Lutheran church. Those are not mentioned here, but I'm sure she was a very faithful and active member at all those different congregations. But also here at Bethlehem, she's been an active member for almost 20 years. She was always faithful when she was with us in attending our divine services, where God would give her various gifts and blessings week after week. She was faithful also in attending Bible class. When I think about the Bible class, we started back in 2010, and our plan was to work through the whole Bible chronologically, book by book. So we started into it, and after about 5 years or so, I think Marie made the comment and said, "If you don't get going faster, I'm going to go to heaven before you get done." Well, she was somewhat of a prophetess because she was right. We're still working on it yet. So we didn't get done yet. But still, though, good to go through God's holy word. And so glad that when she was able, she was always with us here in this room and also down the hall studying the word of God with us. She was also part of our choir, our ladies' friendship circle, and also our 50-plus group, so very active here in our congregation. Marie passed away on Saturday, this past Saturday, June 22nd, 2019, at the age of 93 years, 1 month, and 19 days. God knew about the day she would come to paradise even before she was born. In Psalm 139, the psalmist praying to God, he prayed, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Her body will rest at Hope Memorial Gardens, Hinckley, Ohio, until Jesus returns. So it is a temporary place for her to rest until that time. Since God the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, kept Marie trusting in Jesus as her Savior to the very end of her life, her soul and spirit are now in paradise. Think about even here at Bethlehem, you can see we have the three crosses, a little bit by accident, but the big one and then the two shadows. So we think about Calvary, and we think about Jesus being on the center cross and the two criminals on the outer crosses. And we know that as they were dying on the cross, the one man confessed his sins. He said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Did that man deserve that? By no means. How did he get it? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What about for Marie? The same thing. St. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he told us about the third heaven, and he called the third heaven paradise, and he said that paradise is the dwelling place of God. So aren't we a little bit envious of Marie? She has entered paradise. She is with God. And again, not because of her goodness, but because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus comes, what is he going to do? He's going to raise her body back to life. He's going to put her all back together, body, soul, and spirit. And then she will be blessed forever and ever. So by her passing away, she has taken a step up. She is blessed now more than she was in her body. But there's one more step yet to come, and that step will come when Jesus returns. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we come to this part of our funeral service today for Marie Wezelow, we come to our focus on God's holy word, the Bible. So you can see a little bit of information there in your folder about the Bible. Even though we live in a world today that seems to discount the Bible in many ways, I believe the Bible has proven itself having thousands of prophecies where God said, these things will happen, and then they did happen. None of us even know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, let alone be able to predict things either years ahead, decades ahead, or centuries ahead, and yet God has done it thousands of times with precise accuracy, and oftentimes what he said would happen are things that are highly, highly unlikely to happen. God wants us to know his word is true. As we think about the Bible, it tells really a love story. So God is a great God of love. He made people so he could shower his love upon them, but the people ran away from home in a sense. They went their own way, but he continued to love them. Even though they made a mess of things, he said, I will fix it in time. I will fix it in the person of my son. So those who believed the promise of God, they had the benefits of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Those who didn't, well, they were in great trouble then, and they are even now. But God wants us to know, though, that Jesus did it. He did it all. He did it for us. He did it for Marie. And through him, there is truly forgiveness. There is truly paradise. Today's first reading, our Old Testament reading, is from Isaiah chapter 40, picking up in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord. Just a couple quick comments here on that reading. So it says that the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. The Bible begins and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, again, we live in a world today where many people deny that to be true, and they say that somehow it's proven otherwise, but if you really look at the evidence, I don't think they have a leg to stand on, and if we have more time, I would tell you why. But anyway, though, when we think about the universe that God created, the experts say that we have 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion. And then when we think about the Milky Way galaxy, that's where planet Earth is located. When we think about the Milky Way galaxy, they say there are about 250 billion stars, give or take 150 billion. Can you imagine that? Give or take 150 billion. Well, so it's a pretty big guess, isn't it? But let me give you a little bit of an idea, though, how big just our galaxy is. So if you think about our one galaxy, and our one galaxy is one in 100 billion galaxies. So it's just one. And let's say if you started to count the stars that are just in our one galaxy, and let's say you counted one star every second. Do you know how long it would take you to count the stars just in our galaxy? It would take you almost 8,000 years counting one per second. God wants us to know that he is an awesome, awesome, awesome God. That's the God that Marie believed in her whole life. And God gave her that gift of faith, and God sustained that faith in her. When we believe in God, we know that nothing is impossible. When we think about someone like Marie growing older and older, well, we typically grow weaker and weaker physically, but yet you might note the comment there from Dr. Kretzmann. He said that people who trust in the Lord, what are they? They are victorious to the end. So death is not losing. Death in Jesus Christ is actually winning. So Marie, when she breathed her last this past Saturday, then she finally won. When we're living in this world as Christians, we are constantly being tempted and attacked by the forces of evil. But yet finally, when we breathe our last in Christ, finally we are home. Finally we are free from all the attacks. Finally we are free from the body of death that we carry around this entire life here on earth. So many, many great blessings for Marie even now. Let's go on to our next hymn. Coming to today's epistle reading, we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, oftentimes called the resurrection chapter, a very long chapter and much in it about the topic of the resurrection. Picking up in verse 12, the Bible says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But," and this is a big but, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man," that would be Adam, "the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man," that would be our Lord Jesus Christ. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." The word of the Lord. Just a couple quick comments. So they were saying that there is no resurrection, and if there is none, that means that Christ hasn't been raised either. And if that didn't happen, wow, we might as well forget everything. So the resurrection is a really, really important thing. Now keep in mind, it was on Good Friday, 3 days earlier, that Jesus actually received our sins and he received our punishment. But if he would have stayed dead, then what he said and what he did would be meaningless. We would have to say he must have been lying to us. He said he would rise. He didn't. He's still dead. So none of that is true. But when we think about all the fantastic things he taught, all the things he promised, having been raised from the dead, now we know all of that is true. But if he would not have been raised, though, it would be useless for me to stand here today and tell you anything about the Bible. If you have faith, that would mean nothing. The ones who went around saying that he is risen, they would have been false witnesses. They would have been lying to the people. That would have been a horrible thing. Also, too, people who thought they were forgiven, who thought somehow they were okay with God, and God would welcome them in someday, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then those people would have had a false hope their whole life, and in the end, they would have been lost forever. So the resurrection is really a key thing. And then it even goes so far to say that for those who are believers in Jesus Christ now, so okay, here we are, we know the history, we believe in him now, but what if it's all just made up? That means that we are to be pitied more than everyone else because we are so foolish to gather in church. We are so foolish to waste our time reading the Bible. We are so foolish to think that somehow our sins are forgiven. We are so foolish to think that there is somewhere called paradise where God wants us to be with him forever and ever. But then there is good news, though, because the reading goes on and says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So none of that stuff is true that I mentioned earlier. All that bad news is wiped out with the fact that God the Father, he did raise his son from the dead. God the Father did accept the ultimate sacrifice he made to take the payment that all of us deserve. Basically, God looked at it and said, hey, everyone has sinned, so I can either punish everyone or I can take all of their sins, I can put them on my perfect, sinless son, and I can punish him in their place. That is what God chose to do. It's kind of a crazy thing if you think about it. Why would God love us so much? Why would he punish his son in such a horrible way? It's almost beyond our comprehension, but yet God does desperately love us. He did what he did to take away our sins, and he did what he did so that we could be with him forever. See, God is a God who cannot compromise. We live in a world full of compromise, but God can't be that way. God can't say, well, I know you guys kind of messed up, but come on into heaven anyway. There's none of that with God. God is completely just, completely righteous, so he can only do what is completely just and right. So basically he's saying, crimes have been committed, punishment must be poured out. So again, it's either upon us or upon his son, and he says, I love you so much, I'm going to pour it all out upon my son. And that's when Jesus Christ becomes the only way to heaven. We live in a world today where people talk about many different ways, but there is only one way. Every religion in the world basically says, get going and do good, and maybe you'll get to heaven. That's every religion of the world except Christianity. Only Christianity says that it is God who made us, it is God who loves us, and it is God who's offering us the gift of eternal life. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it, so he says, let me offer it as a gift. And by the grace of God, Marie, she received that precious gift. And by the grace of God, she hung onto that precious gift throughout her life. And now she's experiencing some of the great benefits of having that gift, being with God. And like I said, there is even more to come yet for Marie and for all believers when Christ returns. What is Jesus doing even now? We think about having celebrated his ascension about a month ago. So when he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and now he is reigning over all things. He's in charge, and he's reigning, the Bible says, for the good of the church. What does that mean? That means he's reigning for the good of those who trust in him as their only Savior and Lord. So God is saying, if you're not there, he's saying, recognize your lost condition. Know how much you need me. Be sorry that you're over here. And look to God, and he will give you that gift of faith by which you know that Jesus is God in human flesh. You know that he did it all, and you know that through him your sins are forgiven, and you know that one day through him you're going to join Marie and all the other saints in heaven. What a great way to live, knowing that is true day by day by day. We come now to our gospel reading, and if you're able, I invite you to please arise. Today's gospel reading is found in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Again, just a couple quick comments here. So how did Jesus demonstrate great love for us? He did so by laying down his life for us. The Father wanted him to do it, so he did it out of obedience to the Father. He did it out of love to the Father, but he did it also out of great love for us. In fact, Jesus said over in John 15, verse 13, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." That's what he did for us, even though we are on one hand poor, miserable sinners. He loves us, and he calls us his friends, and he laid down his life for us. Imagine if you were in a situation of imminent death and someone else took courageous action and they ended up sparing your life, but they died in the process. Can you imagine that every day of your life you would wake up and think, "Wow, I wouldn't even be here today if that person had not done what he had done for me," and you would somehow be indebted to that person. And you might say, "Hey, that person has a mom and a dad who are still living. And if that person was living, he'd be over there helping them mow the grass. But he gave his life for me. Maybe I should contact his parents and see if I could mow their grass." In other words, it would be this kind of indebtedness. But how much more, though, thinking about the very Son of God giving his life so that we can escape eternity apart from God in a horrible place and be with God in a wonderful place forever and ever. So him, because of who he is and because of what he did in giving his life, it is so, so, so much more significant. And then also here, Jesus talked about how he knows his sheep. Well, there's this relationship going both ways. So the shepherd knows which sheep are his, and then the sheep also know the shepherd. That's really the essence of eternal life. Think about this prayer over in John chapter 17. Jesus, the Son of God, is praying to God the Father in heaven, and he prays, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So to have eternal life is to know God and to know his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we know them, then they also know us. In other words, a relationship has been established, and God is the one who has established it. So when we think about a relationship with God, that would include opening the Bible so that God can speak to us. That would include praying so that we can pray what God has said to us. We can respond back to him in prayer. And that would also include something with our lives. So now that we're in relationship with God, we're having the conversation, and now our life is different in many ways. Does that mean we're perfect and we get to go to heaven because of us? No, it's always about our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he mentions about having other sheep. Think about during the time that Jesus was living on earth, he was focused on the Jews, but yet not that long after he died, rose, and ascended, then the good news is opened up to the entire world. It's opened up to the Gentiles. What God wants us to know, what Jesus wants us to know, is that no one is left out. No matter how much someone has sinned, that person is not left out. No matter how little a person has sinned, maybe like Marie, she is in need of Jesus Christ. And everyone in between, it doesn't matter your skin color, your language that you speak, the culture that you live in, the country that you live in, none of that matters. God made it all. All of us are in trouble because of our sin, and God fixed it all in Jesus Christ, and the door is open for everyone. Isn't that such wonderful news? If you're able, would you please arise for our prayers? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. We can come to you through Jesus Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit. As we think about Marie, we thank you, dear Father, for having given her life. We thank you for her parents. We thank you for her being a daughter and a wife and a mother, and a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, and so many other things. We thank you especially for her being your holy child in Jesus Christ. Dear Father, as I think about Marie, I think about her years ago having Kathy and I over for a roast beef dinner, and all those little wonderful things that she did. Countless things that we can't even mention now, but help us to think about Marie. Help us to realize the wonderful woman she was, the blessings you gave to her, and how she was a blessing in many and various ways to each and every one of us. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, dear Father, that especially by your action, working through the water and word of holy baptism, by the Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing her to Christ. We thank you for continuing to work through word and sacrament to keep her in Christ all the way to the very end. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, I pray for special peace and comfort to Harold, Carolyn, John, Paul, and all who are mourning the passing of Marie. On one hand, we're rejoicing that you've taken her out of her suffering and she's in paradise, and yet at the same time, she is loved and missed. Help us to know the truth of your word, dear Father, and to be comforted knowing that she is okay. She's more than okay. And help us to long to one day join her in paradise through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, for all of us, we know that you know the end for our lives, but we don't know. We don't know if we have days, weeks, months, years, or decades. Dear Father, most important is not what happens here, but most important is how our lives end. And we just pray that you would be merciful to each one of us, We pray that you would help us to be open to your holy word. We pray that you would help us to read it often, to hear it in church. We pray that you would continue to keep us sorry for our sins and keep us ever trusting in Jesus, knowing that he is the one way to heaven, that he is our way to heaven. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death, he destroyed the power of death. And by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of a joyful resurrection to life everlasting and a reunion with those who have died in the faith. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend Marie, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Would you please arise, and you may follow us out after we pass your pew.